The Virginia Voice presents What's Your Story? Our program is based on the idea that everybody has a story to tell. All you have to do is ask. Now, here's the host of What's Your Story, Don Dale.
Hello. My guest this time on What's Your Story is Laura Kramer, who is the manager of science conductors at the Science Museum of Virginia. And we're sitting in her office at the Science Museum. And we always start this program, Laura, with the same question. And that is, what is your earliest childhood memory?
That's a hard question. Helping out my parents in their yard. They like to garden a lot. Either watching them or... Nope. I got it now.
You can go back further?
I can go back further.
Great.
My father used to work hours where he would come home kind of after dinner. And I remember I was always eager and waiting for dad to come home. It just kind of waiting. Like my mother and I would be eating dinner and waiting for, just eagerly anticipation of when is dad going to arrive. So I think that's one of the earliest ones.
And where was this?
This was at our apartment where we grew up here in Mechanicsville in Richmond.
So you're a native.
I'm a native, native of the area. Grew up in Mechanicsville, still live in Richmond now. So
we are very few and far between.
We are. There's not very many of us here anymore. So
did you stay in Mechanicsville, go to school there, high school?
I did, yeah. We grew from Mechanicsville. I went Lee Davis High and went to college at VCU, so I'm staying in the area.
When did your interest in science start?
My interest in science started, it's hard to say. I'm going to go probably a whole life, I want to say. I was always curious about interests and things. Usually interested in astronomy. Started like looking up in the night sky, like finding the constellation Orion and Venus and things. Mm-hmm. And usually pretty interested in doing science. It was always my favorite subject in school.
Mm-hmm. And you did well in it.
I did very well in it.
Did you study that at VCU too?
I did, and I studied biology at VCU. I went into college thinking about being a doctor. Learned very quickly within first year that I do not want to do medicine, but I did like the biology that I was studying.
And what didn't you like about medicine?
Medicine, I don't like to treat people's wrongs and fluids and all the things that one must do in a doctor. Personally, whenever I have to get a shot, I am terribly, terribly afraid of needles and things. So
you didn't want to be the one sticking.
Did not want to be the one sticking people someone else. So, but I did enjoy very much the biology classes that I was taking. So I just kind of took all the same like physiology and all the other, I guess you'd say, the traditional pre-med classes and stuck with it, but did not continue on into medical school.
So you graduated with a B.S. in biology?
B.S. in biology. I have a minor in chemistry.
What did you do with it?
What did I do? I work here at the Science Museum is what I do.
Did you come right here?
I came right here, yeah.
So this is your first job
after
college?
This is my first job after college and during college at the same time. I worked a little retail at the same time, but I did some tutoring while in school. But I also worked here at the museum as a work-study student in the gift shop.
Huh.
And then once I graduated from college, I was lucky enough to join the full-time education team here at the museum, and I've been here ever since.
And so your first experience at the Science Museum was in the gift shop?
Was in the gift shop, correct.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That must taught you a lot about dealing with the public.
Oh, very much so, much so. Dealing with the public and little children and helping them count their money to make their purchases and such, very much so.
So you're a patient person?
Well, I would say so, generally, yes. Yeah. Pretty patient person.
What do you like most about the job?
Here at the museum, I love it. Every day is a little different. Every single day, there's different people here at the museum. There's always something different to do. I also really do like teaching people science. That's the number two part of everything. It's very fun when you are doing a demonstration or a program or telling people about all of the labs that are here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of fun to go, oh, thank you, to hear them say thank you. I learned so much from taking the time to explain how things work to us today.
I don't mean to put you in an awkward position, but do our schools, public schools, teach enough science?
They do. I think that they do a good job, but it's always, science is a difficult subject for a lot of people to teach, but they do a good job. My experience, I guess, is depends a lot on the teacher, as of all subjects they do, as well as the time needed to teach science is lacking, which is why the museum is a good place to do and come and visit, because it helps add in the more informal learning aspect from the formal aspect of that you get in a class.
How do you manage to hook an elementary school student or a middle school student or even a high school student into a subject that at first seems overwhelming? What's the first thing you do to make them pay attention? This is going to be fun.
The first thing we do to make them pay attention and have fun is we try and pick something, a cool reaction or a cool effect of some of the, to start them with. For example, right now, we just recently got a beehive at the museum.
Really?
Oh, yes.
And Where is it?
It's right here. Actually, we'll show, you can show you later. It's right around the corner. It's in our eco lab. That's here at the museum. It's an observational beehive. And you just walk in and say, you guys want to see a bee? And the kids are automatically like picking up magnifying glasses and trying to find the queen bee and learn immediately there from the hive and ask so many questions. And that leads directly into the life cycle of a bee, what a bee eats, the pollination of flowers, and leads to a lot of other topics. And then for chemistry, we start with, you know, just a fun reaction that they can do at home. They can do at home in the kitchen, like baking soda vinegar or something. And then it leads to more questions of how does this work? What's really going on in my beaker of what I am mixing together?
When I was a kid, we used to be able to buy these little metal submarines, and you put baking soda and vinegar in them, and they'd rise up in the water and sink and rise and sink. Why is that?
I believe it has to do with density. You're changing the density. Density effects have how things sink or float. And so if you change the density with the reaction, they'll sink and they'll float, and they'll sink and they'll float, and they'll go back up and down.
Well, I thought that was absolutely fascinating. And I didn't go on to major in science, far from it, but I was always intrigued by that, and I wondered about, you know, the specific kinds of things that you do for today's kids to make them go, ooh, or wow. Do you get a lot of those moments?
We do get a lot of those moments. We do.
Tell me about your most recent ooh, wow moment.
Ooh, wow moment. There's two. One was setting things on fire. That's always fun. People
Children love it.
Children love it. Adults love it, too, going to be honest. We have a demonstration that we do. It's called Radical Reactions, where we can make different colored flames. And it's just putting a separate, depending on what chemical you add to the fire, it will turn a separate color. Uh-huh. And making green fire is, by adding copper to it, is always a favorite. Usually everyone it will go, oh, wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
And then the other is with rat basketball, which is one of our very, very popular demos that we do. Whenever the rat, we train the rats play basketball, whenever a visitor sees someone play a score basket, they get very excited.
I want to talk about rat basketball, but there's a couple of other things I want to touch on before we get off into that,
okay,
which fascinates me. Do you like your job?
I love it.
What's the most satisfying thing about it?
Satisfying thing about it is just having fun. This is a fun place to be. Everything's different. And then the people that I work with are great, and the visitors here at the museum are amazing to get and talk with every single day.
Science seems so much more important in our lives today than, say, it was when I was a child 6 decades ago. The world is becoming more dependent on knowledge of science. Do you see that a lot here? Do the kids come in sort of ready-made, they understand some things, or how is that affecting your role as an educator?
I would say they do know a lot, especially the general levels of technology, of how effective it is in all our everyday lives. It's helped a lot as well. I would say it makes it the same problem I think I always have with teaching science. There's just, you just reach the norms of what the kids have now and then start from there and work up. It helps, definitely, the fact that they know a little bit more in popular culture than I did when I was growing up. So,
Do you think you've inspired any future scientists?
I hope I have. I hope I have. It's hard to know if I have, but I hope I have.
What do you look at when you have a room full of kids? Do you focus on the kids who are intensely interested, or are you having to spend time making those others come and get interested?
It's both. We spend, it's focused, the ones that are really eager always are the ones more engaged, asking more questions for the audience. So you're spending time asking them their answers. And a lot of times they actually help the ones that aren't too interested join the excitement, I guess, because they help they're listening in on the conversation that we're having with the eager children.
Well, you're the manager of the department.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get to do enough hands-on work?
Not as much as I want to. I have to do a lot more behind-the-scenes administrative work. But when I do actually get to get out on the public, I love it a lot.
How many kids come through the program per year? Do you have any idea how many?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the numbers are for admission, but it's several hundred thousand a year at the museum reaches that come through here. So
that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about rat basketball.
Okay.
I remember seeing it in the paper. The program's been going on, what, 6-7 years, something like
maybe
that.
Maybe a little longer, yeah.
A little longer than that. And I remember thinking, now that's really odd.
Mm-hmm.
And you started out one way, and you're moving in a different direction with how the rats play basketball nowadays. But tell me about that very first program. Who on earth had the idea of, let's train some rats to play basketball?
I don't know where the first one came from, but I think it's been around for many years. My personal theory is that it was college students in a psych department came up with the idea of, let's get some rats to play basketball. But at the museum, I believe one of our museum colleagues saw it somewhere else, and we decided to prick the program here at the museum.
And what does this lead into? I mean, obviously, this is a real wow factor.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the science that you're teaching?
The science is learning that we're teaching. How we train the rats is two main big theories of learning that we all learn the same way. It's operant conditioning, which is developed by a very famous psychologist named B.F. Skinner.
Right.
And then there's also classical conditioning, which is Ivan Pavlov. Everyone knows
right.
Pavlov's dogs.
Yes.
And so those two methods of learning are how the rats learn to play basketball, and it's also how we learn everything usually. So
human beings and rats have the same basic learning principles?
Same basic learning principles, yeah. Like operant conditioning, which is Skinner, is learning to do the consequences of your actions. So how our rats learn is if they do a step correctly, they will receive food for it.
Right.
So we get reinforced for it, we say, and they're more likely to do the step again, which is continue to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we learn, you know, growing up, if you get punished for something by mom and dad, you're less likely to do that again. And
we hope.
Sometimes it takes a little repetition.
Yeah.
And if you're rewarded for something, like if you have a good treat or you name it, you're more likely to continue doing your really good behavior.
Are rats good students?
Rats are very good students.
Why?
They learn really well. They're very smart. They learn really, really well through the two main methods of learning.
And you use both in teaching them how to play basketball?
We use both in teaching. They get food, and they also hear a sound or a buzzer whenever they do a step correctly. So say the rat, one of the early steps is the rat has to touch the ball. So they will go up to the ball, touch it, and the trainer will ring a buzzer and then give them some food.
Just to get them to touch it?
Just to get them to touch it. Yeah, it's to train the rats. It takes about 8 months to train the rats to play basketball. So the very earliest step is they have to just touch the ball, and then we work up towards picking it up and then walking around of it and then finally going through the hoop.
8 months.
8 months on average, between 6 and 8 months to train the rats to play basketball.
And how many hours a day are you working on this? Or your people?
The people we do we usually train about 4 rats at a time, about 20 minutes a rat. So it's about a little over an hour a day.
Is that as
total.
Much as the rats can take?
As much as the rats can take. They have very short attention spans. They're similar to toddlers. They kind of do what they want to do. And so some days we hope what they want to do is playing basketball.
Right.
And other days they tend to take their own methods of having fun, I guess.
Well, rat basketball comes around once a year, does it?
We do the program actually every day, twice a day, every day. You can come and see the rats play basketball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what we do once a year is around the NCAA Final Four time, we pick 4 of our best rats and have them each represent one of the Final Four NCAA teams and have them have a little predict the winner. So we call it our March Ratness event.
But people can come in any day of the year.
Oh, any day of the year.
And there's a basketball
rat
demonstration.
Every single day. Of course. Oh, yeah. They play every day.
What do these rats look like? What kind do you use? Is there a special kind?
There is not a special kind. It's called a fancy rat. You can go, they're pet rats, basically. And they look they are not your big, scary New York sewer rats that are all black and gross or things that you get in your house. They don't look like that. They're called fancy. They have different brown coat colors. We have some that are all albino, that are all white with red eyes. Uh-huh. We have some that's a marking called a hooded rat, where it's mostly like a white belly, and they have their head is one color. Usually it's a black head with a looks like they're wearing a cape down their back, of a black marking down their back. And then we have some that are all of a gray color with a little white belly.
And how many do you have?
We currently have 10 rats.
So you can field two teams.
We can field two teams. Yeah, we currently have 10 rats, and we have 4 that are all-star, like, main event players right now playing basketball.
These are the really good
players. The really good ones. And then we have a couple that have retired. When they stop playing basketball, they don't leave. They live here at the museum their whole life. They're our friends. We love them.
Does the staff fall in love with them?
Oh, of course. Yes, the staff loves them. We spend so much time working with them. All the staff, we each have their own little favorite rat of who they like the most.
And does it interfere with their training if you pick them up and pet them?
No, not at all. They love affection. That's a big reward for them, actually. Rats are really social creatures, and so they love getting pets and touched and hugged. They love it.
Okay, so let's go through the training step by step. You talked about getting them to touch the basket. And I assume this is something the size of a golf ball?
It's a golf-size wiffle ball. So if you ever practice a golf shot, the little holes in it. It's a golf-sized wiffle ball.
So you take a strange rat that you've never seen. Where do you get them?
We get them from the local pet store. We get them from Finn and Feather.
And so you take this strange rat, and I assume he gets comfortable in wherever he stays here at the Science Museum. And then first day of training, you get him to just be comfortable with the ball and touch the ball.
Correct. Yeah, so we start first when we first get them. We do, like you said, socializing. We get them used to us. We then get them used when they're about 3 or 4 months old is when they're big enough. That's an adult rat. They're big enough to start playing basketball. The first step is we actually buzzer train them first. That's the first step. We'll just leave them in our basketball court by themselves, and we'll just randomly ring a buzzer and then put some food in their feeding station. And so if you repeat this enough times, it takes a couple days, maybe a week, and they learn that the sound of that buzzer means come and get food. Uh-huh. So that's step one. And so then we'll put the ball in the court, and they learn that whenever they touch the ball, they come and get food. So
the
buzzer goes off. So we'll just put the ball in the court and just wait and watch. And whenever they go and sniff it or show any interest with the ball whatsoever, we'll ring the buzzer and give them food. So they learn they are getting fed for touching the ball. And then we just kind of watch them. Sometimes they'll just sniff the ball, and then other times they'll put their paws on it or bite it. And we just very slowly make a transition from you are now being fed for touching the ball of your mouth, and you are no longer being rewarded for just sniffing it. And so they get a little confused. There's always a little learning process, because they'll go and sniff it. They don't hear the buzzer, but they think they did, and they'll go and run to the feeding station. But of course, we're not going to feed them because they didn't touch the ball of their teeth. So you just make the steps slightly more difficult for them as you go through the process. And so once they go to touching the ball of their teeth, we want to get them to actually pick up the ball of their teeth. And then they have to carry it, and then they must carry it. So to carry the ball, first you pick it up, and then you carry it an inch, then you carry it 2 inches, then you carry it 3 inches, and keep on and on and on until they will carry it all over a basketball court. And then we have a little platform that we use to help give them a little extra boost, because, you know, basketball hoops are pretty high off the ground.
And rats are very short.
Rats are a little short. So we have a little platform that we'll give them where we'll put the ball up on top of the platform. And then they have to go and find the ball up high on this platform and then bring it back down to us. And so what we do is the platform is in such a way that it has a hole right under where the hoop is. And so we teach them that the correct way to come down off the platform and get some food is to put the ball through this hole where the hoop is. And then very slowly, we can adjust the height of the platform so it keeps getting lower and lower and lower. So the rats have to keep jumping and lifting a little higher distance with the ball until finally the platform is level with the court, flat, and their hoop is really high up above their heads, and they have to pick it up off this platform and reach really, really high to drop it in the hoop. And then eventually we'll take the platform away from them and they'll just continue to score baskets.
Describe the rat basketball court to mm-hmm. me. I assume it's pretty much like a regular basketball
court. It's exactly like a basketball court, but on a, you know, rat proportion size. Mm-hmm. It's maybe, I want to say maybe about 3-4 feet long in length, maybe a couple of feet deep. And it's tall, it's maybe about 1.5 feet tall. And we have little mini hoops that are bright orange for that they're on a backboard off of the court where the rats play basketball.
I want to go further with this, but first I want to remind our audience that we're talking with Laura Kramer, who is the manager of Science Corps Conductors at the Science Museum of Virginia. You all have interesting titles.
We do. We love our titles.
Did you pick your own title?
I did not pick my own title. I did pick my own title. I had a couple of different things. We were trying to think of a fun way to name our education department, and we figured a science conductor would be good, because you guys know conductors are have the conductor name in science is mm-hmm. anything that conducts electricity.
Right.
It also leads to someone that is involved with train,
right,
as well as leading an orchestra. So we thought it was a good term to name our education team at the museum.
So there's more behind it than just whimsy.
More behind it than just whimsy, so...
Back to rat basketball. We're sitting in Laura's office on the second floor of the Science Museum. You got a great view of the dome.
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah. It's hidden.
Really nice. How do you get that little rat to put the ball through the hoop? I mean, that unless he does it accidentally mm-hmm. or unless you force him to do it.
Well, the secret is they get a little help right from the beginning. That's the one from when we're transitioning from taking the ball and just picking it up to us, which they usually do almost completely on their own, to going up on the platform and then taking the ball from the platform and through the little hoop. That's the one step where a little human has to intervene right there. Usually all that we'll do is when the rat jumps up on top of this little platform, and it's maybe about 8 or 9 inches tall, when the rat jumps up there and grabs the little wiffle ball, their trainer will use their hand and kind of nudge them in the correct direction of where to go. And we usually have to do that just a little bit to get them started. And once they get the idea of, hey, maybe I'm going this for a reason, meaning when you do where I'm pointing you to, you will get food. If you go on your own, not where I'm pointing you to, we do not feed you. And so then they'll start going through the hoop.
So they'll do what you want as long as it gets them food.
Correct.
Now, during a performance, mm-hmm. do you have to feed them?
We have to feed them during a performance. That's the secret. They play for food. They're playing for the little treat. It's not their whole, you know, they still get a full dinner and meals and everything that you can.
So this you don't is, starve
we're
them
We're not starving
the
poor little the games. Oh, no. So they're basically, this is just a little treat. Basically, it's like their ice cream cone mm-hmm. For doing a job well done.
Has your respect for rats increased?
Yes. Before I started working with the rats, I had pet hamsters growing up, but that was about my limit. And they are definitely very smart creatures, rats are. I will give them that. For training them, I don't train them currently right now anymore, but I used to a long time ago before I became the manager. You can actually see them learn, the rats learning, and as they're trying different things, because they really do want to do a good job. They seem to enjoy playing basketball. And for example, like when they're touching the ball or they're learning to carry the ball, like the rat will sometimes just run and touch it and then run back and like, no, that's not right. Or they'll run and they'll touch it and they'll pick it up a couple inches and then they'll drop it and they'll come back. And I'm like, that's not right. And then they'll run back and then they'll actually, now they're like, okay, I got it now. And they'll pick it up and they'll actually carry the ball and then they get their food.
Is there a sense of, and this, I can't imagine this being true, but mm-hmm. is there a sense of competition among the rats?
Depends on the rat's personality.
So there might be.
There might be. We've had
Amazing.
Over the years, some rats just tend to be a little more aggressive, I guess, than some of the others. And we've had just a few, one or two in our 8 or so years of doing this program that tend to get a little competitive.
And you have, like, little rat fist fights break out on the
rat
court?
Rat fist fights. We'll say aggressive. With rats, they tend to sniff each other a lot. So we've had a couple aggressive sniff little fights, and they both, they'll rear up on their hind legs uh-huh. and kind of push the other rat away. So uh-huh. it's kind of funny. It looks like little kids having a temper tantrum, in my uh-huh. opinion, because you get two rats on their both rearing up on their hind legs, kind of pushing each other with their hands and putting their hands in each other's face. So the trainer, we separate them. We don't let them do that, but it's just, it's silly.
When you started out rat basketball, the point was for the rat to go through the hoop with the ball.
Correct,
right?
Yes.
And you're not doing that anymore. Taking it one more level.
We're taking it one more level. We're actually looks a little bit more like real basketball now. Previously, our rats would actually walk the ball through the hoop. So they would do, we'll say, a swan dive through the hoop is what they did. So now what they do is we have our most recent batch of rats that we have trained. We have two of them that are trained to pick up the ball and actually drop it through the hoop. They note with no follow through. So it looks like your classic Michael Jordan slam dunk, basically watch up and drop the ball in.
There's much grace to this for the rats, or is it just let's get the job done and get fed?
They like it. They enjoy it a little bit. They don't have to jump as high now because they don't have to. They just have to reach up and drop it. Before they had to completely make a jump through a hoop to do it. So now they just get to reach up and jump it, and they like it.
Good. Do you think the rats like what they're doing?
They do. They definitely do like what they're doing. They love the attention. They love the food. They love all aspects of doing it. And you can tell the rats really like to play basketball as well. Because we have some that did not like to play basketball. And those rats would just pick at the ball in the corner and just basically sit there. And they're like, no, I don't want to do it. So we did not let them, we did not force them to play. We said, okay, you're not going to play basketball. That's okay.
Do you name them?
We do name them. They're our friends. They are basically, they're not our pets, but they are our pets. We name them, they are all females. So we name them all after famous female. They're all females.
Why is that?
Females are supposedly less aggressive than the male rats are, so they're less likely to fight in the middle of a court. Mm-hmm. And they're a little less aggressive, and then not officially. We all think they smell a little better. And as you know, the females are usually smarter, so I'll put that out there too. But no, the main reason is they're less aggressive. They're less aggressive than the male rats are.
Do you clearly enjoy this?
Very much.
How often do you get out and just watch?
Just go out and watch? Yeah. A little every now and then. Most of the time, I'll do the gym, and then doing the demonstration is very fun as well for me too. So. Yeah.
And how do you score?
How do we score?
Is it individuals,
I guess? It's individual score keep. We don't normally keep score during our normal rat basketball games. It usually ends up being a tie because they end up taking turns and sharing a little bit, the rats do,
really?
Playing basketball. It's, basically one rat will score, and then the other rat will take it from them and walk down the court to their end and score, and then hand off to the rat back and forth. And so it's a very... They're very offensive players. There's no defense too much to speak of in the game of
no blocking.
No blocking, no anything. Usually one will get a little sidetracked and the court is open at the top, so they can jump up and they like to walk around the ledge of the outside of the court and say hello to the audience. They don't jump down in the audience. Never, 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 never. But they'll run up and kind of sniff and see who's watching them. And then jump back in the court and start playing basketball again.
And what about you? What's next for you? Career-wise?
Career-wise for me? I don't know. As of right now, I'm very happy here as the manager of the conductors here at the museum. Hopefully, I don't know.
You don't have an ideal job?
Don't have an ideal job, no.
Director of the Science
Director
Museum.
Director of the Science Museum, no.
You're content.
I'm content right now, yeah.
With managing the people who brought you rat basketball and a lot of other programs here at the Science Museum. This has been a fascinating interview. Laura, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I've been talking
with Laura Kramer, who's the manager of science conductors at the Science Museum of Virginia. We're here in her office at the Science Museum. And I'm Don Dale, and I hope you'll join us next time on the Virginia Voice for What's Your Story?
You've been listening to What's Your Story with Don Dale. If you know somebody with a story to tell, or if you'd like to tell your own story, telephone the Virginia Voice, 804-266-2477. And be sure to join us next time for What's Your Story? This is Charles Mink speaking, and this is the Virginia Voice.